Psalm 119, we're looking at verses 161 to 168. It's the Hebrew letter Sheen or Sin. Some people will pronounce it Shin or Sin, but Sin, I don't, because it, as you'll see, it has two ways that it, that letter is used. Sheen is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The ancient symbol for Sheen is two front teeth, which is all I want for Christmas. And the modern Sheen resembles the English SH sound, as in ship, but also has another form, Seen, and you can see how the dot would be shifted over to the left on Seen, where it's over to the right on Sheen, which resembles the S sound, as in sun. And a few common words with Sheen or Seen are, obviously, the most common word in Hebrew is shalom. Shalom means peace. The first time we encounter this word is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 15, when God's pronouncing his blessing and promise upon Abraham. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. That's the word peace, shalom. You shall go to your fathers in shalom. You shall be buried in a good old age. Another word, very common in Hebrew, is Shem. It's also the name of Noah's oldest son in Genesis chapter 6, I believe. Shem means name. Genesis 2 verse 11 is the first time we encounter that. It says the name of the first is Pishon. It is one of that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, speaking of one of the rivers in the Garden of Eden. And another word is Sar, and we'll encounter that in the verses. Sar means prince or ruler. Genesis chapter 12, verse 15 is the first time we encounter that. It says, and when the princes, it uses the plural there, but when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Young people, that verse is speaking of Sarah when she was in her 80s, and she was she was in her 70s, and she was down in Egypt, but she was from Ur of the Chaldees. In other words, she was a Babylonian. Babylonian. Yeah, she was quite beautiful. Later on, when she's in her 90s, she is quite beautiful. She lived to be 127 years of age. But she was a beauty, a Babylonian.
So, I wonder if the word czar came from that.
It may have. So, czar, meaning prince or ruler. Sheen is masculine in gender, and by its ancient pictograph means eat to, because there's two teeth, press, sharp, or consume, because you use teeth to consume things. As the 21st letter, Sheen has a numerical value of 300. The Hebrew word for tooth is Shein, which makes sense since Sheen's ancient symbol is two front teeth. Sheen is said to represent God because one of the names of God is Shaddai, spelled Sheen Dalit Yud, and which means Almighty. And since one of the meanings for Sheen is consume, some of the rabbis conclude its shape looks like eternal fire from the altar. And the word for fire does contain a Sheen in it. It's spelled Aleph Sheen, and it is pronounced Eish. Eish Ochel means consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal God, as for the God, as the second person of the Trinity, and as is written of him in Hebrews. It's written in Hebrews 12 and verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire, quoting from the law of Moses, which is Eish Ochel. Moreover, the Lord Jesus is our shalom. Ephesians 2 and verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace. And for God's Messiah is the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. Those are the two words. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us the child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That is Sar Shalom. So with the verses, almost in this section from verses 161 to 168, almost every single one of these verses in the English Standard Version equates to the King James Version. Almost no difference except for verse 165. 165 has a slight difference, and there are a couple words, but the meanings are basically the same. In verse 161, where it says, "Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words." The first Hebrew word encountered in verse 161, right up front, is sarim, which means it's plural for princes. Religious leaders were called princes or rulers of the Jews, like Nicodemus. John chapter 3 verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." He was a teacher, a synagogue ruler. And so Sar would have been a word that would have been a title applied to him in Jesus' day. The Lord Jesus was persecuted by the princes of Israel, as it says in John 5 and verse 16. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. And in John 15 verse 20, Jesus says to his disciples, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." And also, you should be reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that says, "Yea, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Verse 162, it begins with a saucy word. Saucy. It's saucy. Verse 162 says, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." And it begins with a little Hebrew word, sas, which means rejoice. It's spelled seen. Sas. Christ's victory at the cross came because every truth from his Father was a joy to him. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter," or in the Old King James Version, "the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 163 says, "I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law." In the Old King James Version, it says, "I hate and abhor lying," because the word that's used there is sheker. Sheker means lies, untruth, or falsehoods. Because he who is the way, the truth, and the life, that's the Lord Jesus, according to John chapter 14 and verse 6, must surely hate lies. So if he hates lies, hypocrisy is of a particular disdain to the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 8 verse 44, when confronted with the Pharisees and Sadducees of his day, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Speaking of Satan, he outright told those hypocrites, because of their lies, that Satan was their father. Verse 1, so that's a sheker. Verse 164, Psalm 119, verse 164 is where we are, brother. Verse 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules." 164. In the English Standard Version, it uses the word rules, but in the King James Version, it says judgments. And so, which both of the words are correct. And the word the it begins with is Sheva. Sheva means seven. It also means oath. But seven being the number of perfection or completion, the Lord Jesus praised the Heavenly Father in continual excellence. John chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "And he who sent me," this is Jesus speaking, "and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." In verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." The Old King James Version, this instead of "nothing can make them stumble," it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And the Old King James language, it means the same thing as "make them stumble." The great peace existing in the Prince of Peace was such that he could sleep in the midst of storms that terrified the stoutest of men's hearts. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it records, "But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Remember when this huge storm brewed up in the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way." And remember in Ephesians 2, verse 14, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Verse 166 in the English Standard Version, it says, I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments." excuse me. The word that it begins with is Sibarti. Sibarti means "I hope" or "I have hoped." And I take it from this being applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, where, again, "I hope for your salvation" in verse 166. "O Lord, I do your commandments, and I do your commandments." The Lord did the commandments of the Father, Heavenly Father, and he did them perfectly in thought, word, and deed. But the hope, Jesus didn't need to hope for himself. He didn't need salvation for himself because he was perfect and sinless. But had our salvation relied upon our being able to muster our own hope in ourselves, it would be as far from our grasp as attempting to touch the stars on tiptoes or grab the sun. We couldn't do it. So Jesus, as a man, hopes on our behalf, not for himself. And everything that we need, Jesus did as a man for our sake. So the sinless Son, who needed not salvation for himself, has hoped on our behalf. And we can trust his stamina to hope for us because he has done God's commandments perfectly. And hope in Hebrew doesn't mean like, well, I hope it doesn't rain today. And then if it rains, ah, shucks, it rained. It doesn't mean that. It's a steadfastness on this. And when Jesus hoped, it's a foregone conclusion. As it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." I put in there Isaiah 61, verse 10, because it says, "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness." In other words, Jesus walking perfectly so that his righteousness could be applied to our lives. Even the hope that is given to us, our hope, even a person that is hoping for salvation who is not yet saved, that's because the Holy Spirit is gifting it to them at that time so that they can have any hope. If it wasn't gifted by the Holy Spirit, there would be no hope for the soul that was lost. Because it must come from God. Because our hope is hopeless. Wow. Our hope is hopeless. That's a good one. I should remember that. Verse 167. unless our hope is Jesus Christ. 167, it says, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Who said that? Did you say that? You pronounce it so well. Shamra means to keep. It means to guard. It means to cherish. It comes from a Hebrew root word, shmor. Shmor, yeah, like the chocolate marshmallow and graham cracker. Shmor. Shmora is the feminine version of it. Shmor would be the masculine because it would assume the gender of whatever the sentence is, and it's feminine here. Shamra. While my flesh may despise Christ's gospel, the soul made alive in Christ cherishes his gospel and loves the gospel exceedingly. Romans chapter 7 verses 18 and 19, Paul says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And then verse 22, he says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, or in the old King James version, in the inner man. Even though our flesh still, in the corruptions of our flesh, it still causes us to sin. If we're saved, our soul delights in the law of God. And the final verse, 168, I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. It comes from the same root word, shmor. Shamarti means I keep or I have kept. Shamarti, here I keep or I have kept. There is nothing hidden from our enthroned King, so an honest report with regard to his commandments is best. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 says, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. But that's a very sobering thing here, is that the Lord, all my ways are before you. You're not catching the Lord by surprise by anything that you do. So it's best that if you are honest with him and say, Lord, I messed up, forgive me. Or if you do well, don't boast about it. The Lord enabled you to do well to begin with. So your boast should be in the Lord. Lord, thank you for letting me do that. Thank you for allowing me to serve you. Thank you for allowing me to do right for at least one time today. Here's my challenge to you. Verse 162, memorize verse 162 in your favorite Bible version. In the English Standard Version, again, it says, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Spoil, young people, should remind us of victory. After you've been in a battle and those who have lost, you take the things that are valuable to them, take their weapons and so forth. So each time you get a victory over Satan and his minions, you take the valuable things that they would rob from you, like the love of Christ and the grace of God in Christ. Consider the victories rejoicing in God's word has brought to your life. This week, reflect upon each one when God has brought you a victory in learning something from his word or doing something that brings Christ glory and honor. Reflect upon each one of the things this week. Write one special instance down this week and then share it with someone. I'm going to let you off the hook. You don't have to bring it in here, but share it with somebody. Write it down so that you don't forget, and pray about whom the Lord would want you to bless with that, and say, look, Lord gave me a victory right here. Sometimes it could be a little victory, like you're reading the Word of God, and a verse comes to mind that you understand, and you haven't understood it before. Or it could be a victory that you're able to keep a commandment of God, to behave in a pleasing way before the Lord. So mark one of them down, young people, and then share it with somebody towards the end of the week. Share that one thing that you've had a victory in. Any questions or comments? And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mike.